Please open your Bibles to Ezekiel 34 and Matthew 25. We'll look at different passages from these two chapters later on. I just want to remind you, last week we looked at Ezekiel 34 and we saw how Christ is going to be and has become the better shepherd than the shepherds that were there in the time of Ezekiel. Now his focus is turned towards the lean and oppressed sheep in the midst of Israel. And as you will see through our sermon this morning, there is a flock within a flock here, and God is telling through Ezekiel that those who are oppressed in the time of Ezekiel by the other sheep, the other people around them, that God will one day watch over these lean and mistreated sheep. So that'll be our theme this morning. Dearly beloved, there once was a brother walking in a field. His heart was full of jealousy towards his brother. His heart was full of bitterness. His heart was full of contempt and anger. He lifted up his eyes and he saw his younger brother peaceful, joyful, thankfully walking outside. The older brother had become so angry that he rushed towards his younger brother and killed him. And his blood, the blood of his younger brother, flowed into the earth. This was the first murder in mankind. And it was a fact. It was a family murder. Cain killed Abel, a man that loved the Lord. Now heaven, if we think about this, must have been shocked at this scene. The angel must have gasped at this monstrous deed. But soon it became a common sight. The world was filled with Cains, people who mistreated their fellow human beings because their hearts were filled with jealousy, selfishness, bitterness, and anger. The heart that was made for love towards God and love towards their neighbor had become a self-loving heart, and in that, bitter and angry with all the rest. Oppressive people that only looked after themselves. Then, of course, God, as we read in Genesis, gave a great flood. God washed the earth from evil men, and he only saved Noah and his family. But soon the jealousy, the selfishness, the bitterness, and the anger sprang up again because the heart of man was desperately wicked. Then God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made himself a nation, and God taught them how to live. He gave them his law. He gave them his words. He gave them everything. He gave them signs in every possible way. He gave them the law through Moses, the law of love, the perfect law of righteousness. He gave them a land. He showed his mighty power. Certainly, these people must walk in the way of Abel, loving one another and loving God. And oh, what a shock it must have been when the angels began to see the behavior of the Israelites towards one another. And that is really the background, as you have noticed, I've summarized almost the beginning of the Old Testament all the way to Ezekiel so that you see where this comes in. The people of God here are addressed by God in Ezekiel 34. I'll read the verses 17 to 24. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. It is not enough for you. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? And to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open these words, that we might understand the difference between these well-fed, these fed sheep and these lean sheep. But most of all, Lord, that we might understand the Son of David, the Shepherd of God. Your Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, even among the covenant people of God, the Israelites of old, there were Cains and Abels. There were the meek, the humble, the poor in spirit. And there were those who were self-centered, greedy, bitter, and jealous. And the behavior of these Israelites revealed that they were the spiritual offspring of Cain. And here's God's response in verse 17. God is speaking about a flock. Did you notice that? He addresses in verse 17 the flock, and later on he says, I will gather my flock out from among you. God is speaking to Israel, which in a general sense was God's people, and he says, from among you I have my flock that I will bring and shepherd myself. I will rescue, he says in verse 22, my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. God is saying is this, all of Israel was his flock externally, and yet within Israel there was a flock that was his internally. God prophesied through Ezekiel, a time will come when he himself will come to shepherd his true people. A time in which he will send the offspring of David. Now, of course, this promised shepherd is Jesus Christ. Here in Ezekiel 34, Jesus, the promised shepherd of God, of God's humble and mistreated people. And if you follow the line of the Old Testament, it is very interesting to follow that God's people are usually the weak ones throughout. They are the ones that get killed, that get mistreated, that get despised, that get attacked in every possible way. But here in Ezekiel 34, God says, one day I will send my son, the shepherd, the Son of God, the offspring of David, and he will set them free and will give them and lead them into peace. Now, God has not forgotten his promise. And so when Jesus comes, as we fast forward to Matthew 25, Jesus explains that the promise still stands. He even expands on the promise. He says, my flock, my true people, are not only from within Israel, but from all the nations. I have my weak, lean sheep that have been oppressed from all the nations, and I will bring them into eternal life. He says in Matthew 25, 32 to 33, before him, that's the king of the earth, will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Jesus says, the promised shepherd of Ezekiel 34 is not only the shepherd to Israel, he is the shepherd to all his people from every nation around the world. And when he comes, he will finally separate the sheep from the rest of the world. I want you to see what's happening here, because obviously Ezekiel 34 is not fully fulfilled yet in any sense, in its fullness, isn't it? God's people on this earth are perhaps now as much or even more persecuted than ever in history. And yet, part of the promise has already come, because God's people have the peace of God in their hearts. When they come to God, there is a peace that enters them, and by that, their hearts is enlarged to walk in God's way. But Jesus is saying, I am the shepherd, but I will come back one day, and I will fulfill Ezekiel 34. And when I come back, then it will be the final separation, where the world will be divided in two kinds of people. The oppressors, those who were concerned by themselves and for themselves, and my sheep who loved me. And that's the theme of these verses. My dear friends, there are really only two kinds of people in the world. There are those who are loved by the world, and there's those who are hated by the world. those who follow Jesus and those who attack them. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. They will be mistreated. Ezekiel 34 and Matthew 25 and many other passages describe the same thing. The sheep of Jesus Christ are recognized by their love, by their humility, and by their meekness. Whereas the world is marked by selfishness, abuse, and carelessness. And so this morning, we want to look at three things. First, at the nature of these two different kinds of people, and then the behavior of these two kinds of people, and then the heavenly responses. And we will focus on Ezekiel 34's promise of this covenant that God will bring for his people. In the parable of Ezekiel 34 and Jesus' parable, we see these two kinds of people. Ezekiel 34 describes them as the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Matthew 25 describes them as goats and sheep. What Ezekiel sees is a different nature. The fat sheep in Ezekiel are fat because they're only concerned about their own sheepish bellies. And they feed themselves with a good pasture and drink their bellies full of fresh water. When the lean sheep try to eat because they want to help the others and are gentle and meek and humble, they get pushed to the side. With their shoulder, they thrust them through with their horns. They have a delight in sin, and it's their very nature to be selfish and gathering the things of this earth. If I may describe it this way, these fat sheep in this world are the people who want to gather this world to themselves at the cost of others. The lean or weak sheep are pushed off, mistreated and scattered. They do not retaliate because they're meek and humble and tender, and they're kind like their Lord, but because they're surrounded by the fat sheep, they suffer hunger. Love in this world, a love like Christ, is always punished by a selfish world. And so all throughout history, God's true church have been abused and mistreated because they sought to love, and the hand of the world's anger came and crushed his people. The fat sheep represent those who have a selfish, soulish, earthly nature. They have a greedy heart, are self-centered and filled with self-love. They do not see the suffering of their neighbor, but spend their lives filling their own belly, living for their own comfort and their own circumstances and caring for their own. They reveal that they have the self-loving nature of their demonic father, a selfish and evil heart. But the lean sheep represent those who have a Christ-like, heavenly nature. They're long-suffering, they're meek, they're kind, they're caring. They give, they love, because they love, they suffer persecution in this world. They open their hearts, they open their houses, they open whatever they have to help those around them. And as a result, they're abused for it. But they cannot stop because it is in their very nature to love and to be humble and to be meek. And so they bear the persecution of those around them. And Jesus reveals this same lesson, doesn't it? In the sheep and the goats. And we'll go into that a little bit later. But notice how it's their nature to do these things. Both these groups really have no idea what they have done in one sense. Have you ever picked that up? It says in Matthew 25:37, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? And when did we see you as a stranger or naked? And when did we see you sick or in prison? In other words, it was just their life to help, to feed, to care, to protect. It was who they were. It was the delight of their hearts to do these things. And in the same way, the goats, they had no idea when they didn't do these things because it never stuck in their mind. It was something that naturally flowed out of their hearts and out of their faith. By nature, The sheep cared for their brothers and sisters around them. That is probably the most wonderful evidence of Christ's people, that they love one another. When they saw their brothers and sisters in need, being hungry or in prison, they went and helped because that was what they are by nature, by the new nature of Christ in their heart. In the same way, the goats by nature were self-centered. Their actions revealed their true nature. They saw Christ's people in need, but they had no drawing in their heart to go out and help and to sacrifice what they had because their heart didn't care. And Jesus says, that's the difference. Now, I grew up with both goats and sheep. My parents were no farmers, but somehow we lived in a small town and animals begin to fill up the place around the house in time. And so you don't need to be an expert of any of these animals to know why God uses these. Goats are notoriously stubborn. They will go wherever they please and do whatever they want to do. We once were tried to purchase a goat, and then the goat ran off, and it took four men to run around the neighborhood to try to retrieve this goat because it jumped off and it ran wherever it wanted. And finally, we had him cornered in a barn, and it still took 10 minutes to get the sheep because he wanted to do what he wanted to do. That's a sheep. When I grew up, someone came up with the genius idea, which my mother claims it was me, to walk the goats in the neighborhood on a leash like you walk a dog on a leash in the neighborhood. And all of that was fine until the goat decided he didn't want to walk anymore. And so if you know goats, their legs are embarrassingly thin. Right? They don't have big muscular legs. They got skinny, thin legs. But what they do is they stretch out their legs. They lock their joints. They put them in the ground. And you can do what you want, but the only thing you can do is use it as a plow, right? Because it will just pull grooves in the grass. So in other words, that's the nature of a sheep, right? It will do what it wants to do. And if you say, come here, only if you do what it desires, it will go where it goes. And that's in their very nature. And even among the sheep, if you've had sheep, you know what fat sheep and lean sheep is, isn't it? My father has the sheep around his house. And I remember my father coming up with strategies to feed the lean sheep, because if you throw the food in the same place, the fat sheep come and push everything to the side. And my dad had to go some food here, and then once the sheep was so focused on his own food, he quickly gave some to the lean sheep somewhere else, because otherwise the fat sheep would eat itself to death and the lean sheep would starve. And Ezekiel tells the Israelite of this time, he says, many of you are like those fat sheep. You only care about yourself, and the meek and the poor and the humble are starving. And your nature is revealed through your actions because they imitate what nature you have. But some of you are like the lean sheep. You're humble and kind. You're filled with love because God has poured a love into your heart. And you cannot act like the rest. You cannot run a selfish life because your heart is struck in your chest, because you must love. It's a new nature. They're different. They're imitating their Heavenly Father. And so Jesus describes two kinds of behavior because that's how the nature is always exposed, isn't it? Now, tonight, we're going to look at justification by faith alone. So I think it's good as we look at Matthew 25, where if you want, you can make it justification by works alone, if you take just that passage, isn't it? These people are going to heaven because they did the right things, and these people are going to hell because they did the wrong things. That's not what's going on here. What Jesus is showing is your behavior reveals what you are. Their behavior reveals that they were sheep, and their behavior reveals that they were goats. And this is the great point of the parable of Matthew 25. Let me read it to you, verse 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me." What Jesus is not saying, because you did good works, you will go to heaven. What Jesus is revealing is this: you have proven to be my sheep by the way you loved my people, by the way you gave up what you have when you saw your brother or sister in need, the way that you visited, you showed love, you showed care, you sacrificed you because you were compelled by the love of Christ within you to help those around you. You are my sheep, the children who are loved by your Father. 1 John 4 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." What's love? Love is the desire and the will and the action to help the other person to be as you desire to be. When the other person is hungry, love says, "I want that person not to be hungry as I am not hungry." That's love. They did not love in their own strength, but they loved because Christ made them to love. Do you see that? It's God's new nature in their heart that causes them to love. Because by nature, without the Spirit of God, everyone is like Cain, or everyone is like the goats. I'm focused on my own. I'm here. This is my territory, and I'm building my throne and my kingdom here. And I don't care about those poverty outside. I don't care about those brothers and sisters that are suffering over there. I don't care whether they're crying or whatever else. I'm building my little home here. And you become a Christian. Suddenly you realize, who cares about this thing that I'm building? My brothers and sisters are in need. I need to go and help. I love them. It's not, I read in the Bible, I need to love. Okay, let me try something. It's something that comes from within. It's the Holy Spirit's love poured out into the heart, isn't it? That's the Christian heart. The love of God moving forward. It's not a work. It's that which flows by the Holy Spirit through our lives. They have been born of God and received new passions and new desires. They've become a spiritual people who have the mind of Christ, and so they display Christ's love, and they're not great and majestic people. They're not the philanthropists who changed the world. All they see is, "I have two pieces of bread and my brother does not. Let me share, because I love him, and I will suffer for them." They are the sheep that love one another. The behavior of the goats is quite different, isn't it? Matthew 25, 41 to 45. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then also they will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me.' You see, they also met the people of God. Did you notice that? The least of me is obviously Christ's lean sheep, Christ's people. They also met the people of God. They saw their needs. They saw that they needed them, and if they were honest to themselves, they could have helped them. But they had no heart to do it. There was no inward desire to help. This doesn't talk about going and changing the world. It's about seeing the brothers and sisters around you and loving them as you love themselves. Do you see that? He doesn't say you didn't travel halfway around the world to find some poor person over there. It speaks to those in your immediate surrounding, brothers and sisters in need that receive closed doors, because the heart is closed. They had the same opportunities, but they cared not for their needs. They turned their backs. And Jesus tells them and says, it's obvious. You didn't love my sheep. It's obvious that you don't love me. It says in 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Beloved, you see the bottom line of the bottom line of Ezekiel 34 and Matthew 25? Faith is what brings us to God. The faith God pours into our heart, by which our hearts are opened. And it is the love that flows out of that that proves that we are the children of God. Love is the main thing. A love for God's people, a self-sacrificing love, even as Christ loved us. We love our brothers and sisters. We give ourselves for our brothers and sisters, even as Christ gave himself for us. The great identifying mark of God's people is their love for the people of God. They love because Christ loved. They love, the love of God is in them and compels them because they're God's people. They have, as many old people used to describe it, the love of God ruling their hearts. And so they cannot but love the brothers and sisters. Now, before we go into the promises of God, I must ask you a question. We must all ask this question. I must ask this question. Am I a sheep who loves God and his people, or am I a goat who loves myself? Does your heart freely love God and his people, or does it love the world and the people of this world? Is our life marked by loving others, or is it marked by loving ourselves? What is the fruit of our lives? What nature does our behavior, our words, our actions reveal about our heart? In other words, has our hearts been filled with the love of God through the Holy Spirit? Weak but real. Right? We're not talking about perfect Christ-like love, but as God's love changed our hearts so that now our actions reveal that we love the people of God? Or is it still filled with self-love? Well, I'll let you to answer those questions as I must answer it for me. Which brings me to my last point, two heavenly responses. The Bible in Matthew 25 gives two responses, and it says, and these will go, the goats will go into eternal punishments, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Those who display Christ's love on earth will enjoy God's love in heaven, and those who refuse Christ's love on earth will endure God's wrath in hell. And those who have the heart of Christ will go to Christ, and those who have a heart of darkness will go to darkness. Now, I think both these things are worthy to be emphasized, and I would like to emphasize the eternal punishment as much as the eternal life, but in Ezekiel 34, it's really continuing on to the eternal life, so we'll focus on the promises that Christ has for his sheep. Listen to this. This is for Christ's people. And as you listen to this, I want you to open your heart and hear what Christ is promising to his people, even though it's in a sheep metaphor. But I think you can hear and understand the message of God, the heart of God, and the love of God that he promises for the people of Christ. Ezekiel 34, 25 to 31. I will make them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. The wilderness and the woods are the most dangerous places for sheep. And God says, my people one day will live in such a world that even the most dangerous places, they can lay down and sleep in peace. He's talking about the new heavens and the new earth. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. In other words, Christ is in the middle and the people are lying around. You see that? The places around my hill will be a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season, and they shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in the land. Why is he emphasizing security and peace? For this reason, because God's sheep have no peace in this world. They're oppressed here, and so the word peace is what God's people mostly desire. Not only an internal peace, but a full peace without oppression, where all of God's people rejoice in safety together in the glory of God. They shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hands of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beast of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. In other words, there won't only be peace for God's people, but there will be that which makes the sheep most happy. An abundance of food. Think about that. At the beginning of at the beginning of our text, God is telling that the lean sheep don't get enough food. They're oppressed, they're restricted, they're attacked by the other sheep, and so they're constantly limited to everything in this world. But when Christ comes, everything will be in a great abundance. In other words, everything you suffer on earth, every tear that Christ's people suffer and streams down their face on earth will be brought in the absolute opposite, a fountain of blessing and joy and peace and life with God. There will be, I've talked about this, and this is with some brothers and sisters, and I asked them, can you imagine one day without any negative influence on your mind, without boredom, without fear, without anxiety, without depression, without worry, without any negative thing? Could you imagine 1 hour? You'd never want to leave that hour, would you? Even boredom is a result of the fall. You and I have never known what it means to be truly happy. You ever thought about that? Even the bride on her wedding day, and there's not a cloud in sight, still carries anxieties in the heart, worries and fears in her heart. But Christ says when Christ will separate the sheep from the goats and bring the sheep to himself, he will walk with his sheep in such a way that they will never have anything to worry about. This is not 1 hour, but all eternity without ever even the slightest hint of boredom or anxiety or fear or pain or worry. That's good. That's real good. To have a world surrounding you a body so perfect, a mind so brilliant, pure and clean, that wherever you run, wherever you go, you cannot hurt yourself, or anyone else for that matter. Can you imagine that? Oh, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. They shall know that I am the Lord their God with them. One time I want to preach a message and only just go through the whole Bible and pick out every verse that says, with them, I'll be with them, cleave to me, cling to me. I think I could fill an hour or so just reading the passages and say, amen, let's sing. The house of Israel, my people, declares the Lord God, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I'm your God, declares the Lord God. With everything what we spoke about this morning, I want you to see what this means. Jesus is gathering a people from around the world, from every skin color, every language, men, women, children. He's calling them to himself, and the flock of true Israel is gathering around the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day he will say, everybody step aside. Those oppressing my people come on this side, and those who've been oppressed come here. Get lost, come to me. These are the people persecuted in this world, suffering in this world, despised for the name of Jesus. They're meek, humble, and loving. The world hates them as they hated Jesus. They seem to have entered, if you only look at this world, a terrible covenant with God. It seems. Doesn't Paul say, if there's no resurrection, we're the worst of all? We're being persecuted by every person in the world. But there is a resurrection, and that's why we are in the most blessed place of all. Hear the voice of the shepherd. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so they may dwell securely. He will remove every threat of danger. If you have Christ living in your heart, you know what peace means, because the peace of God has entered your heart. And yet there is this weird disconnect in the external world, because we have a peace with God, but then when we walk into the world, we're constantly getting into this war zone of antagonism against God. And God says one day that eternal peace will be a full peace internally and externally. No longer will Christ's people be despised. They will know peace when they sleep, wherever they go. There will be no danger anywhere. Listen to the testimony of Moses, about Moses, in Hebrews 11, 24 to 25. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's the world's privileges in a nutshell. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. There's a sheep. That's the life of a sheep. Do you hear that? Rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. The fat sheep enjoyed the fleeting pleasures of sin, and they ate and destroyed. But Moses, standing at the very front of the food basket, stepped back and moved over to the lean sheep, and he says, this is my people. Isn't that beautiful? Here's the message. Oh, you suffering flock for Jesus Christ, the days are short. You who choose to suffer with Christ, for he has promised a peace that is coming. This place is not your home. And if you feel out of place, it means your mind is in heaven while your boots are on the earth. If you're at home in this world, you better run to the sheep of Christ. But if your home is in heaven, as Paul lived, he says, my home is not on the earth, my home is in heaven. This is the greatest suffering you will have, but it'll be a few years, and then you will enter into the eternal peace of God's home with Christ's people forever and ever. For God made a promise of peace, and may God add the words to your heart by His Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what love is this, O God? What joy you have given us and poured forth upon us, that we, being goats, have turned to sheep by the miracle of your right hand. O Father, I pray that you would help us to persevere, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we offer our bodies as holy and living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us now, for we need your help, Lord, so that more can hear the good news of what you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.